Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. Artworks representing animals, real or imaginary, religious or secular, span the full breadth and splendor of Japanese artistic production. As the first exhibition devoted to the subject, The Life of Animals in Japanese Art covers 17 centuries, from the 5th century to the present day, and a wide variety of media. At the symposium held on June 7, 2019, in conjunction with the exhibition, Sarah E. Thompson discussed The War of the 12 Animals, a 15th century narrative hand scroll, also known in many later copies, that depicts a war between the 12 animals of the East Asian zodiac and the rebel animals led by the tanuki, or raccoon dog. According to Thompson, the original work was created at the court of the retired shogun Ashikaga Yoshimitsu and refers to the events of the Oe disturbance of 1399 to 1400, with animal characters representing the competing warriors. Yoshimitsu himself is the dragon. This interpretation counters the more common view that animal-to-human comparisons are inevitably negative. While the rebel animals are indeed mocked, the 12 animals, and especially their leader, are glorified, although humorous animal allegory masks any arrogance.
Well, thank you for that introduction, and thank you all for coming today. I am Sarah Thompson, curator at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, ordinarily at the museum, what I work on is the ukiyo-e print collection. However, today I'm going to talk about another subject that is also very dear to my heart, and that is medieval narrative picture scrolls, or emaki. In particular, I'm going to be talking about a work that you can see a version of in the show at the top. That is a scroll made in 1840 in the studio of one of the major Kano painters. And it is a very precise copy, as you can see, of a 15th century work, which is kept in the Kyoto National Museum, but it is not actually the property of the museum. It belongs to a private collector who permits the museum to exhibit it frequently. It was just on display in January as part of their New Year show. However, it is difficult to get photographs and permission to reproduce the photographs. So many of the pictures that I'm going to show you of that older scroll are actually old black and white ones made back in the days when it belonged to the famous 20th century painter Domoto Insho. Very well-known artist who has an entire museum in Kyoto devoted to his work. That is what you will be seeing as we go along. Now, the subject of this emaki, this picture scroll, is a war fought between the 12 animals of the East Asian zodiac cycle and the rebel animals who are not a part of the cycle. It is the earliest animal story with an actual text. There is one very famous early example that, however, does not have any text, so we don't know what it was really about. And this seems to have kicked off a whole cycle of animal stories in the 15th century and thereafter. There are lots of versions of this story of the War of the 12 Animals. The 19th century copy is just one of them. And I have counted up to 27 at this point. I'm sure there are more that I don't know about. So the story and the pictures were circulating as copies became very popular. In addition to the one that is in this show, there is a beautiful copy in the Chester Beatty Library in Dublin. One in Osaka. There was even a printed book that came out in 1669 based on this story. Now, I expect you probably know about the 12 animals. They are familiar to most Americans today because, in part because they appear so often on the menus of Chinese restaurants. So I'm not sure whether that's from a restaurant or not. I found it online. People know about it today as a kind of fortune-telling system where people are thought to have the characteristics of the animal who governs the year that they were born in. So if you can see that clearly enough to find your year of birth on the chart, you can see what your animal is. The system goes back to at least the 3rd century BC in China and continues to be very popular today, especially around New Year. You will see representations of the animals in things like greeting cards and decorations, not only in Japan, but China, Korea, Vietnam also. So the cycle is starting with the rat or mouse, the same word is used. Here is a scene from the 15th century emaki. The animals are having their poetry contest, sitting around. So the rat or mouse, the same word is used for the two animals, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit or hare. Here is the dragon. He is up front because he is the leader. The snake, who is presented here as a lady. She seems to be the dragon's consort, which makes sense, a fellow reptile. There is the horse, the sheep or goat, again, same word used for the two animals, the monkey, who here is dancing in the center of the party, the life of the party, the monkey. There is the chicken. This is often translated rooster or cock, but when you look at the visual representations, it's chickens of both sexes do come up, so I just say chicken. The dog, there's the dog, and the pig or boar. This is almost always a pig in the Chinese versions. There you see the pig with the curly tail, but in Japan there were no domestic pigs at this time, only wild boars, so it's a boar. Now, as I said, these animals are known today for a yearly cycle, but in older Japanese sources, they are the hours of the day. There were 12 hours rather than 24 in the day, starting with the rat at midnight and going around the cycle. They also were directional, directions both on earth and in the heavens. So this is why it's often called a zodiac, but they aren't really constellations. It's just names for the divisions. Now, the emaki opens with a poetry contest. The 12 animals on a beautiful autumn night decide to have a party under the full moon and recite poems. And we actually have another work in the present exhibition that is related to that story. The wooden plaques made in 1725 show the animals with their poems as recited in the poetry contest. So in addition to the 12 animals in this scene, if you look off to the right, there are two more. I cropped this to show just the 12. Here are the other two animals who happened to be out in the woods on that same night and crashed the party that the 12 animals were having, and that is the deer, who is very recognizable by his antlers, and the tanuki, the raccoon dog, sometimes translated badger, although I don't like that translation. I'll show you why in a minute. So these two animals showed up. At first, the 12 animals said, "Go away, leave us alone, we're having a party by ourselves." But eventually the deer persuaded them that he was the ideal person to be the judge of the poetry contest. He said, "I am a kassen." Kassen is the Japanese word for a poetic immortal, a really good poet. And it's a pun, because ka is one of the words for deer. So he said, "I'm a deer immortal," which sounds just like a poetic immortal. They thought that was very witty, so they let him be the judge of the contest. The tanuki was very envious. He just tagged along, and here you see him looking up at the deer. Now, a tanuki is a magical animal in Japan. I don't know how many of you have seen the old Miyazaki movie about tanuki. But there's the ad for it. This is what a real one looks like. I tend to call them tanuki rather than raccoon dog or other terms because there really is no good English word for this animal. It's an animal that is a native to Asia and not known in Europe or North America. I think that is a spring picture of a tanuki. It looks more like a raccoon than anything else, but it's clearly not actually a raccoon. That's a rather slim tanuki in the photograph, but since it is an animal that hibernates, it eats and eats and gets quite pudgy by the time it's ready to go to sleep for the winter. So tanuki have the reputation of being kind of fat and goofy. They drum on their big round stomachs. The reason I don't like the badger translation is that Japan does also have badgers, the same species as European and North American badgers. So that's a badger on the right and a tanuki on the left, clearly a different animal. So raccoon dog is not a bad translation, but there we go. I don't like badger. I just call them tanuki myself. So what happens, the 12 animals have a very successful poetry party. They have so much fun, they decide to do it again. The second time, they actually invite the deer to come and be the judge, but he declines. And then the tanuki pops up uninvited and says, "I'll be the judge." They don't like that idea. He's kind of goofy and not nearly such a good poet as he thinks he is. And they not only refuse, they beat him up. He is furious, wouldn't you be? So he decides to declare war on the 12 animals. And he gathers together as his allies all the other animals who are not part of the zodiac. So they are generally the predatory animals that eat other animals. Here's the tanuki. That's his armor beside him. And here are his friends, the wolf, the fox, the bear, the cat, the heron, the weasel, the horned owl, the kite, who is very important, and here is the badger, who is described as the tanuki's cousin. So these animals get together and plot. Now, there are many clever details in this wonderful work, which I don't have time to go into, but I do want you to notice the costume of the kite, and it is decorated with conch shell trumpets. There's the picture again. This is the real thing. And these instruments are strongly associated with the Yamabushi, the mountain priests, or mountain ascetics. These are the adherents of a religion known as Shugendo, which combines Buddhist and Shinto teachings. Many of their practices are secret, but they do things like terrifying mountain climbing as a way of moving toward enlightenment. They have a distinctive costume. Notice the little round hats. Now, in those mountains where the Yamabushi are doing their ascetic practices, there are, according to Japanese folklore, bird-human demons known as the Tengu. So here are some statues showing you what Tengu look like. They are part human, part bird. They have wings. They're two different varieties. One type of Tengu, Once again, I hit the forward instead of the laser pointer. One type of Tengu has a bird beak, and another type of Tengu has what looks like a human face, but with an enormous long nose. So these are the Tengu, and they usually dress as Yamabushi. Notice the little round hats, and then the strips with the sort of pom-poms down the front. Tengu are shapeshifters. They are tricksters. They sometimes play just funny tricks and sometimes really malicious things. They love to stir up trouble. If they can start a war, they'll do it. They are shapeshifters who can take the form of humans. When they're human, they usually look like Yamabushi. They can also take bird form. When they're birds, they're usually in the shape of a kite. So it seems pretty clear that the kite in the story of the War of the 12 Animals is really a Tengu. The 12 animals find out that the rebel animals are plotting against them, and so without waiting for the tanuki and his friends to attack, they launch their own preemptive strike. They attack, and there's a very amusing battle scene. Like many things in the emaki, it plays on animal characteristics. So the first warrior from the side of the 12 animals to come out and challenge the enemy is the mouse, because he's the first in the zodiac. The mouse, by the way, is shown as a Buddhist priest. He has gray robes in the poetry scene, and here he's wearing a cloth wrapped around his head that warrior priests, and yes, there were such people, used instead of a regular samurai helmet. But the mouse comes out and challenges the enemy. Who do the rebels send against him? Of course, the cat. Who do the 12 animals send to get the cat? The dog. So there's the mouse making his escape. Here's the cat. with the dog chasing him. But the wolf comes and chases the dog, and finally the 12 animals send out the tiger, and in the next scene over, the tiger kills the wolf. So since the wolf was the top general of the rebel animals, they lose the first battle. It goes completely in favor of the 12 animals. So they then have a party. Still with their armor on, they celebrate. This is the scene you can see in the exhibition. They dance, they sing, they drink. The chicken gets up and sings a song about how wonderful chickens are. Meanwhile, the tanuki, back in his animal form, is moping in a hollow tree. The kite comes and encourages him. He says, listen, you've lost a battle, but not the war. Now is the time to strike back. So the kite tells the tanuki, gather your allies together once again and attack the 12 animals while they are sleeping off the results of their drunken party. And so that is exactly what they do. The tanuki even gets some new allies, this time around the hawk joins him. And in the second scroll of the emaki, they go forth and attack the 12 animals. Here is the tanuki giving the orders with his battle fan. And here's a nice color picture from the reproduction. It's not currently out, but there you see in this very faithful copy, there is the tanuki. Here is his friend the hawk, and they are attacking the camp of the 12 animals where that jolly party was just held. So sure enough, many of the 12 animals are passed out drunk. Their leader, the dragon, is not, and he tries to rally them, tries to wake up everyone else to fight off this attack. But this time around, it is the rebel animals who win the second battle. However, they realize that they need a headquarters. The fortified burrow of the tanuki is not going to be enough anymore. So they go off to Mount Atago, which is a mountain near Kyoto, famous for Tengu. It's the kite's idea to go there. It's another clue as to his true identity. They build a fortress at Mount Atago. The 12 animals come after them. And in the end, the fortress on Mount Atago is destroyed. Most of the rebel animals are killed. Except for the tanuki, he escapes by using his shape-shifting ability to take the shape of a Buddhist priest and hide in a temple. It's important to note the two sons of the dragon. The leader of the 12 animals has two sons. Their names are Lightning and Thunder, and they are instrumental in this final victory for the forces of law and order. The tanuki makes one more attempt, which does not succeed. He is all on his own now. He still wants revenge on the 12 animals. He decides to use those shape-shifting powers to become not a nice, kindly priest, but a terrible demon and go and attack them. But as he sets out to attack them, a stray dog on the road barks at him, and he's so frightened that he gives it up completely. You can find a translation in this book, which has just come out, which naturally I recommend. And that's the Chester Beatty version. I was thrilled that they used that for the cover. So in the end, he decides to become a monk himself. He says goodbye to his family. There's a very sweet, touching scene in the burrow. There is his wife rolling on the floor in grief. His little cubs are pulling on him, saying, Daddy, Daddy, don't go. But he's going to give up the world. So he goes off and becomes a priest. Here he is having his head shaved. And there's a very interesting discussion of which religious sect he will join. He settles on the Pure Land sect because it's easy. You basically just call the name of Amida Buddha. Furthermore, you can do it while dancing and singing. This is very suitable for a tanuki. So there he is playing the drum by hitting his big fat stomach and dancing and singing the praises of Amida Buddha. However, he can't quite give up the old habit that got him in trouble in the first place, which was composing poetry. So he still is writing poetry. And there's a line from the last poem that he writes in the Emaki. Now, this is all very funny. It works as a story completely independently, but most people who've looked at it have suspected that it may have something to do with all the various wars and rebellions that were going on in Japan in the 14th and 15th centuries. In order to try to figure out what it might possibly be referring to, it would help if we could get a more precise date for it. Now, here it gets very complicated, and I'm not really going to have time to go into detail about the different theories, but I'll tell you what I personally think is going on. We have a fairly firm date for the first of the three scrolls in the oldest set, and that is 1451. It's because a draft for the calligraphy, or for part of it, was found on the back of recycled paper that can be dated to that year. And it is definitely by, it's been carefully studied, a man known as Gosuko In. He was the father of the Emperor Hanazono. He actually became a retired emperor without ever having been emperor. He's quite important in art history because he wrote a diary all about his activities as a collector, among other things. Unfortunately, the diary ends in 1449, so we don't know what he was doing in 1451, but he talks about borrowing an emaki of the 12 animals. So what was done in 1451 was not the first version. That itself was a copy of something older. Furthermore, the older one was in the collection of the shogun, not in the imperial collection. And the usual attribution of the paintings, Tosa Yukihiro, the founder of the Tosa school, active in the early 15th century. Now, for scrolls 2 and 3, there is less agreement about who the calligrapher is. It's clearly a different person. I really like the suggestion made in that 1699 colophon that it was Prince Sondal. However, he died in 1403. So my theory is that the first scroll is actually a copy made in 1451. Scrolls 2 and 3 are from the original, and I think that that original was made in around 1402. I think that Sondal is most likely not just the calligrapher, but might very well be the author of the text. Now, Yukihiro would have been the logical person to illustrate something written at that time, and I think that this artist may have been the one who did the 1451 copy. So, many complicated arguments that I don't have time to go into. If my theory is correct, this would have been made at the court of the third Ashikaga shogun, Yoshimitsu. And I think the event that corresponds most closely to what we see in the scroll is something called the Oe disturbance, or the Oe rebellion, which happened in 1399 to 1400. Now, Yoshimitsu at that time was already retired. He was living very much in the style of a retired emperor. He had two sons, or at least two who are important historically, one of whom was now the shogun, although he was only 16 years old in 1402. And the second son was really daddy's favorite, and many people suspect that Yoshimitsu may have been planning to take that second son and actually make him emperor. Get rid of the imperial line and install his own family in their place. We'll never know because he died himself in 1408. So it's just a possibility, but he definitely had ambitions in that direction. He's well known to art historians for building a fabulous palace, of which one building remains, or at least strictly speaking, a reproduction remains, since the original Golden Pavilion was destroyed by arson in the 1950s. But you can go and see the faithful reproduction now. So I think the War of the 12 Animals represents Yoshimitsu's victory in the Oe Rebellion. I think the dragon is none other than Yoshimitsu himself. His identification as a dragon would have been promoted by a gift that he received from the Chinese emperor. Yoshimitsu was very keen to be recognized as, quote, King of Japan, unquote. And in 1402, he actually did receive a diplomatic message from China identifying him by that title. I don't have a photograph of that document, but here is a 1407 document which calls him King of Japan. Of course, gifts were sent to the King of Japan, including dragon robes. So I have a lovely vision of Yoshimitsu parading around the Golden Pavilion wearing something like what you see on the Ming Emperor here. If we assume that it's the Owe Rebellion, this is what I think is going on. I think the dragon is Yoshimitsu. His two sons are the two sons that I mentioned. The other animals are the daimyo, who were closest to him, then the tanuki. Who is that anti-hero? I think it's Imagawa Ryoshun. He was a daimyo who survived. He was involved with the rebellion, but he survived it. He was able to kind of wiggle out of being held responsible, and he became a Buddhist recluse and was a noted poet. I think he fits beautifully. I think the Edo period people who made the copy would have been shocked to hear this theory, because in the Edo period, he was considered a model samurai. His a letter of instructions to his son was being used by then as a textbook for what a good samurai should be. Now, here is the real life sequence of events. The real instigator of the rebellion was not Imagawa Ryoshun, it was Ouchi Yoshihiro. I think he's the kite, the one who kind of drags Ryoshun into it. Both of them were daimyo who were demoted by Ashikaga Yoshimitsu as his policy of controlling his daimyo when they started to get too big and possibly be a threat to him. He would reduce their territories and responsibilities. Naturally, they didn't like it. Yoshihiro then fortified the city of Sakai. In the text of the Emaki, the Tanuki's fortified borough is specifically identified as being in Sakai. So that, I think, is one of the clues. And there is no other incident that it would fit. Prince Sondo, who may have been the calligrapher and, in my opinion, possibly also the author, was a friend of Yoshimitsu and was involved in negotiations, which fell through. There was a brief war, and the rebels lost. Ryoshun, however, survived, and he wrote a book justifying, it's not much of a book, it's very short, but he wrote a literary text justifying the activities of his family in previous decades and himself on this occasion. It was sufficient to get him a pardon. Then around the same time, Yoshimitsu successfully is recognized by the Chinese court. Sondo dies in 1403, so if we attribute it to him, it must have been before then. So I'm guessing 1402, Sondo making fun of Imagawa Ryoshun and praising Yoshimitsu. Now, most people who've thought this is some kind of allegory have assumed that it came from the imperial court, who were making fun of the warrior clans and saying, oh, they're just animals, they're just like squabbling animals. I disagree. I think it originated in the shogunal court, and although it certainly is making fun of animals like the tanuki, it is glorifying others, such as Yoshimitsu. I mean, who would not want to be a dragon? So this is my theory. As to where they got the idea, there is one famous predecessor. I was very happy to see the fragment below, which is in this exhibition, the Frolicking Animal Scrolls of the 12th century. Almost certainly, Yukihiro, or whoever did the illustrations for this, was aware of these. However, there is no text. We still do not know whether these illustrate any kind of story or whether, in my opinion, they are just fun drawings. Another source is the imagery of the 12 divine generals. We have a wonderful set of sculptures in the show. The usual form in which these Buddhist guardians appear is human warriors with little figures of the animals on their helmets. It's even mentioned in the emaki. The animals say, "Don't you know that we're on the helmets of the 12 warriors?" But there are other forms in which they could appear. We see them in Japan in esoteric Buddhist drawings, probably based on prototypes from Tang China. So here are a couple of examples. They are human warriors, but riding animals rather than wearing them on their helmets. And here they are actually animals, some carrying weapons. I don't know of any examples of sculpture of the 12 generals in human form in Japan, but we do see them in some very beautiful examples from Korea in the unified Silla period. So finally, why? Why show human beings as animals, or even if you don't believe in that, why have animal stories? Well, here are some suggestions, and I look forward to hearing the other papers talk about them. Animal stories are funny. It's very amusing, whether it's Walt Disney or Tosa Yukihiro, to see animals dressed up in clothes doing human things. But it's also possible to discuss serious topics that way. It gives some psychological distance from things that might otherwise be very painful to discuss. A very good example of this, I don't know how many of you know the present-day comic Mouse, M-A-U-S. It's the story of the artist author's parents' terrible experiences in Nazi Germany. The Jews are mice, the Nazis are cats, and other people are various other animals. It's a very serious story, which would be quite painful and upsetting if it were illustrated by human beings. It's bad enough with animals, but that helps and helps you to understand the story. Finally, there's always the possibility of hiding a political meaning. Of course, if it's hidden, then some people may argue it's not there at all. Another example in the show is the 19th century, a wonderful painting of the Fox's Wedding, which may represent the imperial princess marrying into the Tokugawa family of shoguns. Most people think that that is what it's about, but others argue that no, it's not. It's just a folkloric story about a fox wedding. So there are many possibilities, and I think that's why this type of story became so popular beginning at this time, and I look forward to hearing more about it in other talks. Thank you.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.